All right, good morning, everybody. That is loud. Turn it up. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 19 is where we are. And I'll try to keep doing these PowerPoints if y'all like them. I'll just keep doing them best I can. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. The subject this morning is childlike faith. And a couple verses here. There are obviously some characteristics of children and that the Lord likes that relate to faith. Matthew 19, verse 13, the Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." And let's pray. I'll give you a few things about childlike faith. Childlike faith. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you'd guide us through this study. Thank you for each soul that's here this morning. And thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. We need light. We need direction. Pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids. And thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for righteousness in Jesus Christ. And I pray also for the nursing home ministry this afternoon and VBS decorating going on this afternoon. And there's a lot of things going on this week. I pray VBS would go well. Lots of folks would come and be able to minister to the kids and the families. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, a few things about children and childlike faith. The scenario here, obviously the children come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the disciples seem to kind of shoo them away, and kind of like, we, you know, there's adult things we need to be doing, and you kids are kind of getting in the way of that. And it's an opportunity for the Lord to teach a lesson, and he does. And what he says there in verse 14, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." It's kind of reminiscent of what he talked about in Matthew 18, but it just shows you there are characteristics of children that are very similar to characteristics of faith. There are some things that children have and don't have that adults need and that you need if you're going to be a child of God. And so first thing is this. So where did we, oh, he's gone now. You got to be the star this morning. Hopefully this thing runs. It's been taking a while. The first thing is children are not yet entangled with the world. They're not yet entangled with the world. And I don't know if this thing's going to run or not. We'll try. It'll probably start moving whenever I start talking again, so it'll just start moving. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is an interesting verse where the Israelites get told, everybody that refused the promise, everybody that neglected, everybody that spoke against the promised land is going to get stuck in the wilderness, except for the generation that doesn't know good and evil yet. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Children are not yet entangled with the world like adults are. There it is. I like these little cartoons. Deuteronomy 1:37. The Bible says, "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, Thou also shalt not go in hither, but Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither," talking about going in the promised land, "he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." So the context, just to give you a little clarity on that, when Joshua and the spies came back from the promised land and gave the report, and there was 10 that gave the evil report, there was a whole generation of people that didn't have an opinion on that because they couldn't have an opinion on it. They didn't know. They didn't know what the good or evil of the circumstances was. And so they didn't have a disbelief in it, or they didn't have anything. They were just a generation of young kids at that time, and they didn't have a yay or nay say in going into the promised land. So they didn't backtalk Joshua, and they didn't side with the 10 evil spies or evil report there. They just didn't have an opinion on it, and the Lord says they didn't know good or evil at that time. They had no knowledge of good or evil. And he says, because of that, that generation is going to be allowed into the promised land, but the ones that spoke evil of the promise, they're going to die in the wilderness. That generation is going to die in the wilderness. And it's kind of interesting. I got this little picture here of, I don't know if y'all can see this. I like these old cartoons. Some of these, this guy's, I don't know, early 1900s, but you got this skeleton clawing for gold and silver and riches and just chasing the world and dying doing it. And that's something, children aren't yet entangled with the world like adults are. Just like this generation in Deuteronomy that the Lord says they didn't have an opinion of good or evil. They weren't understanding of it, the good or evil of the sides of the 10 evil spies or the 2 good ones, Joshua and Caleb. So the first thing about a childlike faith, it's not entangled with the world. It's just not entangled with the world like children are. Let me show you another one in the Old Testament before we get back to Matthew. Look in Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 verse 7. Isaiah chapter 28. there's a whole lot in this chapter. I'll just look at a couple of verses. But the thought is, the principle is, children are not yet entangled with the world. And the world wants to get them earlier and earlier, but that's one of the things of childlike faith. It's just not entangled with the world. Here's Isaiah chapter 28, 7. "But they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest, the prophet, have erred through strong drink. They have swallowed up of wine. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." Like there's no sanctified place. Even the holy places are the places that are supposed to be sanctified have now become filthy. And that's kind of, you think about the world, think about your life. What place is sanctified? Where is the sanctified place? Where's the place that's set aside just for the Lord? Is there a place like that? Well, that's what Israel had become, the whole nation. There was, even in the specified holy places, there's nothing. Nothing sanctified, nothing set apart. So then he asks this question, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" Verse 9. "Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." We're talking about verses 9 and 10, just children. Just this is who he's going to teach, a child. Or somebody who is like a child. Somebody who's not entangled with the world. Somebody who hasn't become filthy like the whole nation. Even the holy priest, the priesthood would become filthy. Everything would become filthy. But children are not yet entangled with the world like adults are. So that's one aspect of it. Here's another one. God's children in childlike faith are born by the Word of God. 1 Peter, look at this one, 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Childlike faith born of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 22. The Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All right. Anybody know where else that phrase, born again, shows up? John 3. All right, look at it. Let's look at it. John chapter 3. So born from above, you get the words of God. You get some revelation from out of heaven. And somebody trusts those words, and they're born from above. John chapter 3. Children, God's children, are born by the Word of God. Childlike faith. It originates in the Word of God. You think about it with your life. I think about it with my life. You know, it's almost like sometimes in our lives, the Bible is good enough. It's good enough for salvation, but not really good enough for everyday life. You know, I want to be saved. I want to be justified, but you know, after that, I can kind of take it or leave it. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Obviously thinking about a physical, natural birth. "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." I'll stop there. You get the idea. 1 Peter and John chapter 3, God's children are born by the words of God. And by the way, I think all of y'all know this, but the context is a birth. It's not a baptism here. So when he says born of water and born of the Spirit, it's not baptized in water and then born of the Spirit. It's born of water, born of the Spirit. Born of water is water breaks, a child's born. Born of the Spirit is God reveals something, he speaks, and someone trusts what he says, and they're born again. They're born again of the Spirit of God from above. So, God's children are born by the Word of God. And then not only are they born by the Word of God, kind of what I said before, they're led by the Spirit of God. Then they're led by the Spirit of God. John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10. And we'll see this led by the Spirit of God. Kind of like what we said a while ago, if the words of God, if Jesus Christ are good enough for your soul to be saved, probably good enough for your life to be lived by that. John chapter 10, verse 4. So a child of God is led by the Spirit of God. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, it's talking about Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Look down in verse 27. My sheep do what? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So childlike faith, it's not born of the Word of God, it's led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Here's a good one in Romans. And let's look at it. Romans chapter 8. Led by the Spirit of God. Tell you what, before you get to 8, look in chapter 7. I'm going to show you a principle about being a Christian. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. So Paul's just explaining what the law could do and couldn't do. Can't save anyone. In fact, when it appears, it points out sin. And so he says, well, is it evil? Because it can't save anybody. And he's explaining it's not evil. It's just not, that's not one of the things it does. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me, now listen to this, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. So here's a principle, before we move on to Romans chapter 8, this is half of the principle. Christianity, whatever you perceive Christianity to be, if it is a set of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and there is some of that, but what Paul says here is every time the law showed up in my life, it made me more of a sinner. It brought something out in me that was, it either identified or exposed, or in my own rebellion motivated me to work against it. And so Christianity can't be just a set of don't do this, don't do this, because it's going to do that in everybody. It'll just make people more of sinners by just saying don't do this, don't do that. So here's this other side of that. I hope that makes sense. Here's the other side of it, because there's a positive side. It's not stop doing this. It's start following the Spirit of God, and you'll leave behind some of these things. So here's a positive side of it. That's one half of the principle. Romans chapter 8, but you got to get the balance of it. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Well, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. so on and so forth. You got the verse 14, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So that's, not only are you born of the Spirit of God through the words of God, but you're led by the Spirit of God through the words of God. So it's this is God's children. This is childlike faith, led by the Spirit of God. Just like over in John chapter 10, he talks about hearing my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They follow my voice. On the other side of that, just on the negative side, if God's children are led by the Spirit of God, if y'all can see that. So you've got then a contrast. Back over here in John, I'll just read this one to you. John chapter 8, verse 41. You've got the devil's children. And there are really only two, spiritually, there's only two sets of children. John chapter 8, verse, I'll just read it to you. Verse 41, here's the Pharisees, and they're getting on Jesus Christ, and they say, you know, you're born of fornication and all that kind of thing. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So there's all these religious guys. They say God is our Father. You're just sort of a child born. You're just somebody born out of fornication. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. You love your own family, don't you? And so, you love your family and you love your immediate family. And so the Lord says, look, if you were in my family, you would love me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Contrast to what he says in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, but you're not hearing my voice. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Bode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So there's verse 44, you're of your father the devil, lust of your father ye will do. You're just kind of like father, like son. And so the children of God, led by the Spirit of God, versus the children of the devil, just led by the flesh. That's just what you get led by. And there is a difference between a child of God falling into sin versus being led by the flesh in their lives. David's an example of that. He was a man that was promised things from the Lord, and he fell into sin, and the Lord made a way out of that thing, but there were consequences to it. But there is a difference, and the Lord deals with people's direction. He deals with their motivation. He deals with their heart attitude. He deals with, those things are kind of, it's one thing to be a child and get into sin. It's another thing to live your life according to the flesh and just live your life according to that way and occasionally be in church. That's a different thing. Those two things are different. Children of God, led by the Spirit of God. Children of the devil, just led by the flesh. They just, whatever pleases them, whatever they think is right in their own mind, whatever their own worldview is, they just sort of live by that. Just led by the flesh. So when you talk about people being led by the devil, it's much simpler than, you know, this witchcraft, seance-y type stuff. It's just, you just follow the flesh, and that's, you'll be led by the devil. He's the architect of that stuff. So, God's children led by the Spirit of God, devil's children led by their flesh. And then this, last, is this, God's children, just like children, they still have needs. They still have needs. Let's see. Here's a couple of places, but I'll just take you to this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 27. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Children still have needs. God's children have needs. You get to be, I guess, a certain time in life, and you kind of get to be like the disciples, you know. Hey, we're doing adult things, and kids, you just kind of need to stay out the way, and we got adult things to do. It's kind of how we treat God, you know. Hey, just, I got adult things to do. I need you to just sort of, you know, stick with the VBSs and Sunday schools and stuff like that, and, you know, I got my life I got to live here. We got adult things we need to do. But children aren't like that. Children have needs, and God's children still need their father. He says, I'll read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that, here's the point, no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. All that stuff ties together with being led by the flesh, led by the devil, and there's coming a day, he says, all flesh is grass. Just all flesh is grass. And how does that work with children having needs? Well, we're very proud of our flesh. I mean, we, you know, the biggest and the strongest and the fastest, those are the ones, the most popular, those are the ones, the prettiest, those are the ones that the money is attracted to. I mean, that's the flesh is built up. It's set up. This is the, you know, ingenuity and genius and these kinds of things. Exalted in the world, and the Lord says, all flesh is grass, and there's not going to be any flesh that glories in my presence. And I choose the base things, and I choose the weak things, and I choose the things that don't even exist to take out the things that do. So the point is, no flesh would glory, and our problem generally is we have a lot of glory and a lot at stake in our flesh. And we don't want our flesh not to glory. We want to promote it. We want it to be seen. We want people to know, and we want popularity and strength and speed and athletes and all this stuff. It's almost like you got Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. You know, he's the biggest, he's the strongest, this guy is the most violent, this guy is what everyone comes to see, this is what everyone pays money to watch. And the Lord says, no, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's how I've perfected praise. Not your ingenuity, not your intelligence, not your strength, not your business savvy, none of that. The ones that follow me, the ones that I work through, the ones that the Holy Spirit leads, those are my children, and that's how God gets the glory out of it. Those children have needs. You get to the place where in Revelation he talks about the Nicolaitans and the Laodicean church and all that kind of stuff. But there's that phrase in there. They say, we're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. That's the opposite of what a child is like. A child has needs. A child needs food, it needs provision, they need love, they need care. But then you have these adults, hey, we're doing adult things. I don't have any needs. I don't need your handouts. Let God deal with the, you know, let him deal with this other stuff in life. He can have the stuff that's not adult, or we got grown-up stuff to do. That's how we treat God. And the Lord says, that's not faith, that's just glory, that's just fleshy glory, carnality, all that kind of thing. But what God's impressed with, what God scolds the disciples for, is when they start shooing the children away, he says, no, those children, suffer them to come to me, because they have qualities that you need to have. They have qualities that you need. They have needs, and they know they have needs. They're not entangled with the world, and you probably ought to get some untangled with the world, more separated from the world than you are. Kind of like those children of Israel in Deuteronomy. They just didn't know good or evil. They just, you know, they were separated from all that stuff. Children are born by the Word of God. God's children are born by the Word of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. And they got needs. They need their father. I'll show you one more place in Matthew, and then we'll wrap it up. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 15. This is where the Lord quotes Psalms about the children out of the mouth of babes. Matthew 21, verse 15. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. that's wild. They're praising Jesus Christ, and now the religious leaders are getting on to him. They don't like that. And he said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." It's in Psalm 8, by the way. But that is, these children have more sense than these adults. In fact, these children have more sense than these adults who have studied religion and studied scriptures. They have more sense. And when the children start speaking, the adults get frustrated and angry, and the Lord says, you've missed it. You've outgrown God. You think you're too big. You think you're too self-sustaining. You think you're accomplished and you're good." And he says, those children have more wisdom and sense than all of you. They, out of the mouth of babes, thou hast perfected praise. It's kind of what he says over there in Matthew 19, what we looked at. And there are clearly several characteristics of children. It's just a few. But clearly there are several characteristics of children that are similar to characteristics of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are a few of them. Those are just a few of them. But we'll wrap it up. This will be a short one this morning. Let's pray and we will get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful to go over these things. Maybe take a look at our own, what we call faith in our lives, whatever that means. Maybe match it up with what you call faith. And I know we'll all self-identify as believers, but what does the Bible say about believers, and what does the Bible say about Christianity? That's what we need to know. We need to know what you say about it. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for justification. Thank you for light. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for caring for us, taking care of us, making provision for us. And I pray we'd all be more like children in these characteristics here. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.